Bethlehem with Ruth Park on August 26, 2004 for the Michigan Women's Historical Center. Okay, looks like we're working. Okay, well, let's just start with a little background about yourself. Okay. Where you're from and...
Where I'm from?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I was born in Saginaw, Michigan, brought up in Saginaw. And when I married Alan, my husband, who you just saw in here, he was transferred to the office in Saginaw where I worked. That's where we met.
Okay.
And at the time, he was in the Army with the during the Korean conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was, we lived in Washington, D.C. at first, mm-hmm. until he was discharged. And then we came back to Lansing. And we're still here.
It's been a while then, mm-hmm. huh? Okay, and what were you doing before you decided to join the WACS?
Well, I taught school for a while in a country school in Saginaw County, and then I went to work in the defense industry. It was a very patriotic thing to do at the machine gun plant. And then when the Women's Army Corps was formed, I decided that I just had to join. Both of my brothers were in the Marines, and it seemed that, well, so many people I knew were no longer home. The men were all being drafted, and so I enlisted in the WACS.
Did you choose the WACS? They were the only ones going at first?
I think so. I think the Waves started just a little while after that, and the Marines.
So what did your family think about you enlisting?
My father thought it was insane.
Really?
Here I had a good paying job. Why in the world would I want to be in the Army? But I wanted to very badly. And I had to go to, I lived in Saginaw, I had to go to Detroit to sign up. And then from, I had to go back to be sworn in. And, well, that's about it, I guess.
Yeah. What did your brothers think? They were in the Marines?
Well, see, they weren't home at the time. Right. They had already left. They really didn't say a great deal about it, as I recall. Actually, they had no influence on me. I did what I wanted to do.
And what about any friends? Did anybody else have anything to say, or was everybody kind of doing this?
Well,
that sort of
I remember that they it was quite unusual back then. I was one of the first to join the WACS. They even sent a reporter from the Daily Newspaper out to interview me.
Oh, really? When did you join?
Well, let's see, I finally left. I was months before they called me up. It was the 1943. I know I went during Christmas vacation, and I spent my first time in the WACS on New Year's Eve.
So they were, had just started when you
joined,
And what was it like when you first got there, when you first got to boot camp then?
Well, it was very confusing. Nobody knew where they were going. Well, we were met at the station, of course. We sent our railroad tickets. And they took us to a place right on the beach. We stayed there for a few days, I remember. And then we were assigned to a permanent company, our basic training. I stayed at the Clarendon Hotel right on the, had my basic training. We were at the Clarendon Hotel right on the beach in Florida.
That's a good place to be.
Well, it was very nice. It had a beautiful view out the window.
Yeah.
However, it wasn't really what you would call luxurious. There were five of us, I believe, in one room that ordinarily held two. Okay. So you can see it wasn't. But I liked it.
Yeah. And did, was it still the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps
it
at
was,
that time?
Yes, WAAC. And then later on, if we wanted to, we could have left and or we could have stayed in and become a member of the WAC. It was no longer an auxiliary then.
Right. Well, did you did that bother you at first when it was just an auxiliary kind of thing? Or did it really not make a difference?
I think I was pleased when I found out we were part of the Army. We weren't just an auxiliary.
And you didn't question, or you didn't leave. You decided to stay?
Oh, yes. I decided. I signed up right away.
It wasn't a question even, huh?
Some of them did leave, though. Some of the girls I knew did leave. And some of them came back, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, so how long were you in Florida for? Just for basic,
I was there for basic training, and then they sent me to school there in Florida. I was there until March, I believe, end of March, and went to, I was stationed at, in Boston, Massachusetts at first. I think I have an unusual record. I was in the Army 3 years, and I never was on an Army post until I went to be discharged at Fort Sheridan. And I don't know anyone else that can say that. It just happened that way.
And where did you keep getting sent to? I mean,
it just happened. I don't know. in Florida, as I told you, I had basic training and went to school, stayed at the Clarendon Hotel.
Right.
Then we went to Boston, Massachusetts, and stayed at the Boston City Club, which was right downtown in Boston. And from Boston, I went to Buffalo, and we were only there a few months, and lived in a hotel in Buffalo, right downtown.
Huh.
And from Buffalo to New York City, and stayed at a hotel in Manhattan. As I said, my husband said I was never in the real Army. I guess some people would say I was lucky. I was a little disappointed.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get the real Army experience? Now, what was your special training in, or what were you trained to do?
Well, when I went to school down in Daytona Beach, Florida, it was to be trained as a company clerk.
Okay.
All the paperwork that had to go in for each company. Why they sent me, because I never used the training. I don't think very many of us did. It wasn't the most efficient way to handle anything. When I went to Boston, I was in the anti-aircraft. And, see, how can I explain it? All the coastal cities, especially the large cities, had gun emplacements all around the city. And there were people watching for ships coming in over the Atlantic. They were afraid of us being attacked by the Germans. In fact, the Germans did land in Florida in a submarine and got out. So it was in blackout conditions in Florida. You couldn't see anything.
Really?
And but by the time I got to New York, I think they called it a brownout, where they had limited lighting. That was a bit unusual.
Yeah, I would think so. Huh. So, what was your actual job, or what would you do every day?
When I was in Boston?
Yeah.
My job was, they called it the, it would be Bell Telephone here, American Telephone, in that building. And people from the gun batteries all around town, if they would see a plane coming in, they would announce it, and we would put it on this huge map. I didn't do the map. I gave it to a girl and told her, you know, this goes there. if the plane was not identified within a very few minutes, then there was an alert. All the gun emplacements were on alert. And the gun operations office was right up on the balcony over my head. He was waiting. And if it was not identified within a certain amount of time, he was, you know, put them on alert and tell them, you know, to watch for the plane and, I guess, defend.
Right.
Shoot them down.
Huh.
But all the time I was there, I don't think that ever happened. But then we were pretty safe.
Who would call in with the saying they saw planes? Were there civilians doing that, or is it all Army?
That was Army, but we did have civilian volunteers working there. There are a lot of civilians that work there. Most of them would come in once a week. It depended on their schedule, I guess.
Were you ever afraid, or were you worried at all that planes, you know, the Germans would actually come, or is it just kind of, didn't really think about it, you weren't worried?
There was a possibility, and I was on the alert. I think I did a good job. I didn't go to sleep on the job, which had been known to happen, I guess.
But it wasn't something you were really worried about.
Huh? No, I wasn't terribly worried. I do not think I was afraid of being attacked by Germany. But we were covered all up and down the coast from Florida, and they all had their gun emplacements.
Well, what was it like back in basic training? Were you trained by women, or did you have male instructors, or?
Mostly women. We did have a drill instructor. They had a sergeant. one man with all those women. I wonder often how you told about it, but teaching us the close order drill. Mm-hmm. And every Saturday morning we had parade. Mm-hmm. Companies were all parade down the beach, and we had a band. Oh, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, how did, and then I assumed you worked with men and women both when you were the rest of the time you were in the Army?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And how did the men treat the women? I mean, did anybody
I've heard I've heard of people that had problems with it. I never had any
really?
Problems.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh. And how are you treated by your commanding officers who are women? I mean, everybody?
Some were better than others,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But most of them were okay.
Yeah. And did you were transferred so many times, it sounds like?
Just twice, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from Florida to Boston to Buffalo to New York. I was in New York longer than I was in. I was there almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any choice of where you ended up, or you just went?
Absolutely not. They ask you what your first choice of assignment was, and your second choice, or third choice, and I don't know anyone that ever got any of their choices,
really?
Let alone first choice.
Yeah. What was your first choice, or what would you have preferred?
I'm trying to remember what I know one thing I did choose. I wanted to learn how to cook for large groups. I thought
mm-hmm.
I could cook some bakers, but I found out then that was not considered a good assignment. I've seen
mm-hmm.
girls in tears because they've been assigned
oh,
there.
Really?
And I didn't volunteer for it, it didn't take me.
Huh. Did you end up doing the same thing in New York that you were doing in Boston?
No. By the time, first I went to Boston, then to Buffalo. Buffalo was part of the grid, the network that was defending us against attack, too. And by then they had disbanded the whole anti-aircraft situation all up and down the coast. I guess they finally thought there was not much danger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to New York, and I worked in the personnel office for the Army Post Office.
Hmm.
The Army Post Office was a very big organization because everything went through there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was high security because we had the location of all the troops in the office.
Right. Huh. Now, would that office be doing all of the censoring, or would that have been done somewhere else?
It wasn't done by our office. I don't know where they did it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, that does amaze me how they could find anybody and get them their mail. Huh. And so,
I had a boyfriend who was up in Newfoundland, I guess, and he wrote to me, and they used to cut out with scissors, you know, parts that were censored, and it said, every night I go to bed with, and it was clipped out. And I wrote back, I said, I don't know who you went to bed with, but I'm not sure I approve. And he told me later that he went to bed with the sun still shining. That would give a hint as to where
that's
he was.
So funny.
I thought that was funny, too.
Yeah, it could have ended the relationship right there.
Huh?
All the censoring could have ended your relationship.
It could have.
Now, what was it like living in Manhattan at the time?
Hey, that
was
great.
Exciting?
That was great.
Yeah.
Because we had so many things we could do. Over on Park Avenue, there was an office. You could go over there and get tickets to theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You could always get movie tickets to theaters. Radio City for free, any of the theaters. And, of course, I'm big on the legitimate stage.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the ones that were in great demand, like I think Oklahoma was playing at the time, you couldn't get tickets for that.
Mm-hmm.
But almost all the plays, you keep trying, you could get tickets for free. Just go over there and line up, and they'd give you the tickets.
Huh. Well, that's nice.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to travel at all? I mean, did you get free time, like weekend passes and stuff? And
occasionally, not a lot.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of free time after you got out of work every day? I mean, was your time your own?
For a while, we put in 8-hour days like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked Saturdays too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put us to 10 hours for a while.
Oh.
So there wasn't a whole lot of free time.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some free time.
Yeah.
Huh.
And
know,
then,
all these free tickets you could get.
That's great. And then you said that you lived in a hotel again?
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
On West 35th Street. In fact, I've been back to New York several times since then. Walked right by it, and the hotel is still there, still
mm-hmm.
has the same name. But it has gone down. It's kind of a flea bag now. And it was a much nicer hotel and a better area when I lived there.
So did you, was it the same kind of situation? Five of you? Or more than was supposed to be in each hotel room when it was a hotel? But did they pack you in there?
Pretty much so.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I've been lucky, the roommates I've had, I can only remember one that I had a problem with. Most of the roommates were pretty much okay.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Are you still in touch with anybody?
Only one left. And she lives in Chicago, and we used to get together at least once a year, but lately we haven't done it. We do keep in touch. Mm-hmm. I talk to her on the telephone, exchange letters. Mm-hmm. And then I have another one that I kept in touch with until just lately, and then I found out she died.
Hmm.
Huh. I can even show you a picture over there. In the
Oh, okay. We'll have to look at it afterwards. Now, did you know what was happening in the war all the time? Were you pretty updated?
Well, I think pretty much like everyone else.
Yeah.
We had the radio, we had the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you work in an office that was very closely allied to what was going on.
Right.
We didn't know any more than the ordinary citizen did.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember V-Day Day and VE Day and what you were doing on those days?
Oh, yes. I never forget it. VE Day, when the war was over, that summer, everyone in our wax company, in fact, all the wax there, were given a week's vacation at Vassar University in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And just given a week off, you know, because we'd been in New York for a whole year, and it was hot, and we'd been working hard, and we stayed in one of the dormitories, and we were on our way back from Poughkeepsie, and we were driving down Fifth Avenue on our way back to our hotel. Everybody was smiling and waving at us. My goodness, they're friendly. Why are they so nice to us all at once? And then we found out when we got out that the war was over.
Huh.
First of all, they told us that we had to stay and we weren't allowed out of the hotel for the night. And, in fact, some of us get sneaked out anyway. But then they reversed the position and said, go ahead, go out and have fun and celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very noisy place. It was one band after another marching down the street.
What a great place to be for that.
Then I went down to Times Square. I had to see Times Square. You've seen the pictures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was not the nurse. But I finally got out of there because all the soldiers and sailors were grabbing me and kissing me. And then you can just take so much of that. So I decided I'd be a little distance from it. But it was an experience just to be there.
Oh, I bet.
It was a mob scene, like New Year's Eve, only more so.
Huh. Wow. So how long were you in after that, after the war ended?
Oh, let's see. A few months.
Mm-hmm. And they just kind of
They gradually sent us home. It was based on how long you'd been in the service. The ones who'd been in the longest were the ones who were able to be discharged first.
You were probably one of those, I would think, weren't you?
Well, there were quite a few that were in longer than I was.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. At first, they had so many people signed up that they couldn't handle them all.
Oh. Wow. Mm-hmm.
It was very gradual. Mm-hmm. And I kept waiting for the mail. When are they going to take me?
You know? Great.
Went on for months. Then finally I got the letter in the mail to report to Daytona, to the commanding officer in Daytona Beach, Florida. How do I do that? I found out all you do is get on the train. There'll be somebody at the station to meet you,
mm-hmm.
tell you where you're to go, in fact, take you there.
Mm-hmm. They probably tell you what to do for the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Oh, yeah, you should be told what to do.
How did that work for you? I mean, was that hard for you to get used to? Not really having the freedom to do your own thing?
No, I don't think so. Maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me that they were awfully persnickety when they inspected your room once a week. Your shoes had to be mm-hmm. lined up in just a certain way, the shoelaces tucked in a certain way, everything in the closet faced the same way, buttoned up. I mean, just a lot of ridiculous the rules, it seemed like to me.
Right. And did you have to deal with that once you got done with boot camp or basic training? Did you have room inspection?
Oh, yes.
The whole time?
As long as I was in the wax, it was always room inspection. You were not allowed to be sloppy. Everybody was neat.
Right. I had all sorts of other kind of things. Was there any emphasis on looking ladylike or trying to stay feminine? Anything like that you can remember?
I don't think so, not in particular. Mm-hmm. Of course, there were rules and they were strictly enforced. One rule they found impossible to enforce. I don't think they tried very hard. If you were an enlisted person, which I was a sergeant, you were not allowed to date officers. But we all, well, not all did, but
did you?
A lot of us did.
Yeah. Was it a pretty good dating scene?
Oh, wow, was it ever. It was heaven.
Really?
You could have 3 dates every night if you could handle it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any stereotypes about women in the service?
Oh, yes, you have the reputation of being very loose in our morals. I mean, which we were not different than any other young women.
Right.
Some of them were a little bit loose,
mm-hmm.
but most of them, well, you went to college, you know, there were girls you knew in college who were not exactly
right.
what you would call virginal,
right.
and the same with the wax. I mean, the ones I knew, most of them were very nice people with high morals.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think that reputation came from?
I don't know. And when we went to work in the defense plant, that was another thing. Well, girls that worked in the defense plant were also spoken of as being...
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
I hadn't heard that. Huh.
Anything that was at all different. You know, when women started doing something that they hadn't done before.
Right.
And of course, this would be longer than I'm aware of it. When women first started to vote, I guess that was considered a masculine thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were worried society would crumble if women got the right to vote.
Who knows what would happen.
Exactly. What were you doing in the defense plant? What was
I was inspecting machine gun parts, mm-hmm. which wasn't a bad, it wasn't as boring as most of the jobs were. All the parts that went into the machine gun had to go through this department. It had to be okayed.
Mm-hmm.
You had gauges to show that the measurements were right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very careful.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of women working there at that time, or were they just starting to come in?
There were mostly women in the department where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
The foreman was a man, and I think there was one other man. The rest were all women.
Yeah. Huh. And those were women primarily there just to do their war effort? Is that why most of them were there?
Most of them did. A lot of them did there because, well, there were teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Me included, who would work there during the summer,
and
a lot of them stayed on because it paid a lot better than teaching did at the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. How much were you getting paid? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but it was big pay for that
mm-hmm.
time.
And then when you joined the wax, it was a lot less.
It was a lot less. Uh-huh. That's why my dad thought it was so dumb of me to join the wax when I was already doing so well.
Right.
I can still remember. When we first went to work, the women at the machine gun plant, all the defense plants, women were not paid as much as the men
right.
for doing the same work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we accepted it. And then the law was passed that we had to be paid the same amount of money for the same work. And some of the men were really mad.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't affecting them. It wasn't taking anything away from them.
Hmm. They just didn't want to be thought of as equal with women, huh? Are women equal with them?
They didn't think that we should work just as hard as they do, but not get paid as much.
Huh. And when you first were in, when it was the WAAC, were you paid as much as the men? Do you remember?
I think we were.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So right away
uh-huh.
from the start.
I think the pay was the same.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't very good.
Oh, not very much, no. We certainly weren't getting rich on it.
Yeah, especially probably when you're living in New York.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Of course, as I said, so many things were free to us, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to go to a nice restaurant, you had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, we didn't go to a lot of nice restaurants.
Right.
Unless you had a date with money who wanted to take you out to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you were in the Army, did you Was rationing as really as much part of your life as when you were a civilian?
No.
Was it?
Because we didn't buy things. Everything was issued to us. Mm-hmm. And I know the civilians had a lot of rationing. In big cities, you could buy things you couldn't find someplace else. And before I was coming home on furlough, my sister would call me, bring this, bring that. I had a whole list of things
really?
I was supposed to buy and bring home to them.
Huh.
You could get it in New York, and you couldn't in the smaller cities.
Mm-hmm. Was your sister older or younger?
2 years younger.
Uh-huh. And she didn't think about joining? Or
well, she was married, and her husband, well, he was in the service, he was in the Army, but he did not want her to join.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't. Mm-hmm. She would love to have.
Really? How old were you when you joined?
24.
Were you about average age, do you think, or?
Well, most of them were young. Yeah, I would say average. There were some were older, there were some that were younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did this, it was so radical that women were joining the Army. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you were doing something so new and different? Did you feel like a pioneer in the military?
Yeah, I did. I was thrilled about it. I thought
mm-hmm.
it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think right along I had been a little irritated the way that men were given preference over women.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they still are not drafting women.
Right. What do you think about that? Should women be eligible for the draft?
I think women without children, yes.
Really?
But I don't approve of people leaving their children and going into the Army or the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe that's considered old-fashioned because there are a lot of service women now who have children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think about women in combat?
If they want to.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's great. Well, that was some of my questions right there. You answered them for me without having me ask. What did you feel about your overall experience as a WAC?
I loved it.
Yeah.
In fact, when I got back to be a civilian, I missed it, I think.
Really?
Of course, there's a big difference between Saginaw, Michigan and New York City.
Right. Right. Did you have the opportunity to stay in if you had wanted?
No, we were all discharged. We could have joined again, but I don't remember anyone even asked if they wanted to stay in. We were just automatically discharged.
Mm-hmm. Did you think about re-enlisting ever?
I did once, but then I changed my mind.
What was it like when you first signed up and it's just for the duration of the war? Is that kind of scary to think it could be forever? You know, how long is the war going
to
last?
It never occurred to me it might be forever. I knew I knew it was limited, and I knew we were going to win.
Yeah.
I think most of us had that attitude.
Mm-hmm. Did you join, your main reason for joining, was it doing your part?
I think so. I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you disappointed at all that you didn't get to do overseas service? Or is that something you weren't really interested in?
Yes, I really was interested. I never got to do it. We did it on a voluntary basis. If we wanted to go overseas, we signed up for it. And I signed up twice. Twice my name were on the orders to go overseas, and twice they were taken off because the office I was working in, the captain I worked for, thought I was indispensable. He didn't want to replace me. So he just said, no, take her off. You don't want her. But I really wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it worked out for the best because my mother had three of us in the service, my two brothers and the Marines. They were in the South Pacific, and they were where the fighting was. And I don't think she could have taken worrying about three of us, especially a daughter.
Right.
So for her sake, it was better that I stay in this country. She felt a lot better about it, I'm sure.
How did she feel about you joining up to begin with?
She never objected. I don't recall her objecting.
Did both of your brothers come home?
Oh, they both came home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I've got some pictures of them. If you're really interested in seeing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, let me take your microphone off.
Oh, yeah.
Get stuck.
Okay. That's right. I'll carry it off with me. I had some other things, and you're responsible for me sorting through a lot of stuff.
Oh, good.
And I know there's some stuff I never did find it.
Put this back on you.
There, this is what I look like then. You would not recognize me.
Oh, wow. How'd you like your hat?
Those were dumb. Later on, we were given different type caps,
yeah.
The overseas caps, but those were the ones we wore at first.
I've heard so many women who hated those hats.
Uh-huh. And they were dumb-looking hats, yeah. Aren't they?
And then I hear about the stockings all the time that you had to wear.
Oh, yeah. Always. No matter how hot it was. This is my basic training company.
Oh, wow.
That's from Florida. And so that is me, way in the last back row, right up there at the end.
That seems like a huge group. Was it big?
That is just one company.
Yeah.
I don't know how many companies were in training going for, dozens and dozens.
Now, did they train all over and you just happened to go to Florida? Or was that where
they were also training at Des Moines, in Des Moines, Iowa. Uh-huh. In fact, at first, Des Moines was the only place.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd be going to Des Moines. But I shouldn't complain. It's a lot nicer in January.
Exactly.
In Florida than
that's
in
what
Des
I was
Moines.
Thinking. No snow in Florida.
And when we went to Florida, they didn't have enough uniforms to go around.
Oh.
So most of us didn't even have uniforms during basic training.
Huh.
And when they did finally get uniforms, then oh, yippee. And we line up in alphabetical order. My name... Basic training, that's me. And that was our commanding officer.
Hmm. Now how long had she been in? She couldn't have been in too much longer than you if you got in right at the start.
Yeah, she probably in 6 months maybe. Mm-hmm. They had to go to officer training school in Des Moines first.
Mm-hmm. And could you have signed up for officer's training?
I started to and then changed my mind. I didn't want to.
How come?
I don't know.
Just didn't.
I guess all of my friends, I like to stay with my friends.
Right.
I think that was it mostly. These were all taken in Florida during basic. These were. That was taken in Boston. There's me. That was in Florida. Yeah, I showed you that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the ocean.
That seems like a great place to be.
Oh, and this was the one I was telling you about that who just recently died.
Oh.
She was one of my best friends.
Huh. Where was she from?
From the state of New York. Not New York, New York, but upstate New York.
Mm-hmm. And she was with you in New York City? Is that where you met
she
her?
Was with me in Boston. That's where I got acquainted.
Oh, okay.
But we always remained in touch after that.
Huh.
When I was in New York, we always kept in touch. This is when I was home on furlough and a little boy in the neighborhood.
So cute.
This is my boyfriend from back home.
Mm-hmm. Did you stay in touch with him the whole time?
For a while.
Yeah.
I never did like him that much. He asked me if I'd wait for him, I told him forget it. Oh, and this gal here, she's the one who lives in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And I still see her quite often. I haven't just lately, but we used to go down and visit her once a year. And she has a beautiful condominium right on Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, wow.
So it was a nice place to
stay.
Yeah,
and where did you meet her? At Basic?
We were together in Buffalo and then again and all the time we were in New York. Let's see if there's anything interesting here. Oh, this was the office in New York that I worked. Did you ask if there were any men? See, there's a few, but there are.
Not so many. They probably got all the dates, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's me there.
Hmm. And what was the main thing you were doing there in New York?
In New York?
I mean, every day, what did you do?
I was in charge of, I think there were three other gals who kept track of all the records from all of the whole Boston, they called it the Brooklyn Port of Embarkation, but all the companies had to keep track of who was there, why they were not there.
Wow.
And every day we had to put on a bulletin, which had to be absolutely correct. I want to show you one of mine. See, that's the kind of hat we wore later.
That's what I've seen a lot.
They look a little better than those. Yeah, that's one of my brothers. That's my other brother, isn't he handsome?
They're both Marines, huh?
Same brother. Same brother. That's about it.
Those are great. You're lucky you still.
I'll probably find these other things that we're looking for.
Right. When you're not looking for them, that's when you'll find them. Do you want to put those in there? And what did you do? You said you went back to Saginaw afterwards when you got done. And what did you do after that?
I decided I didn't want to go back to teaching, and I thought of going back to school and completing and getting my degree. I did not have a degree. I had a certificate that I was able to teach in rural schools, but not in the city schools. But in the meantime, I thought I just better get a job. So I went to an employment agency and worked for a finance company they sent me to. And I worked for them for years and years, way after I was married. First in Saginaw, and then I went to Chicago to live, and worked for the same company in Chicago, and then back to Saginaw again. And then when we were first married, we lived in Washington, D.C. Al was at Camp Belvoir in Virginia. So I worked for the same company in Washington.
Well, that's nice. They could just transfer you wherever you needed to go.
Then we got back to Lansing after he was discharged. I got a job in civil service, working for the state. That's about the end of my exciting career.
Did you use any of the skills you learned in the military the rest of your life?
I don't think so. not really. Well, of course, the ordinary office skills.
Right.
But I wouldn't say I learned them in the military. Right. I had them before.
Well, I don't really have any other questions, but did you have any other good stories that you wanted to tell or anything that I forgot to ask? I would think New York's got to be an exciting place where lots of things happen.
Oh, yeah. New York was great to live in. And one of my friends had good friends who lived out on Long Island, and she would go out there on weekends, and she'd take me with her too. So we became very good friends. And even after the war was over, when I went back to New York, I went to visit them and stayed with them. It was a young married couple.
That's nice. When you were living in Chicago, was your friend in Chicago at that time?
Oh, that was a different friend.
Was there? Well, that's nice. And then when did you said you got married? How long after you got out of service?
Quite a few years. We were married in 51, and I got out of the service, when was it, 46? So it was a few years before, but I was still single. And I'm still married to him, and that was 52 years ago.
Wow. It's amazing.
And they said it wouldn't last.
Yeah, you proved them all wrong, huh? Well.
What are you going to do with all this information?
Well, what we're doing is I'll type it all up, we'll transcribe it, and then we'll keep it in our library at the Historical Center for any researchers who want to come and do research. We're also, like I said, sending it to the Library of Congress, and they're going to do the same kind of thing. They'll just have it available if anybody wants to come and do research and
Do you have a lot of material?
Well, you know, I'm getting there. I've talked to, it's got to be getting close to 30 women that I've talked to so far. And I keep coming across more. So I'm trying to get to as many women as I can and record this. Because I find that so many women aren't as forthcoming, or they don't tell everybody what they did in service. So for many of the women, this is nobody else, they hadn't heard about it, or nobody else had heard about it.
Well, so. I think I got something in the mail about it. How did you get my name?
You know, I'm just trying to think. Somebody...
Somebody put my name in, I think.
Yep, somebody... This is where I got it. A little slip of paper. I think somebody came to the museum just to visit, and we had an exhibit. This uh-huh. originally started with an exhibit on women in World War II. And they gave me your name.
I don't remember who.
It's probably been over a year, too, and I finally just got a chance to get going on this.
Well, you're getting some response.
It's funny. At first, it was really hard to find people, and then everybody just sort of started coming out of the woodwork. I'd hear about more and more women. Mm-hmm. So, well, hopefully.
Have you had mostly WACs? Have you had any nurses?
I've had, yep. I've only had one Navy nurse, probably... 3 or 4 Army nurses.
My sister-in-law was an Army nurse. She lives in Grand Rapids. I don't think you'd want to go there, would
well,
you?
Well, I've gone up to different places, so I'd certainly like to get her name. And
sure, I'll get it for you.
Okay, here. Well, should we go ahead and stop this?
That's when she met my brother-in-law while she was in the
Oh, service. Really? And where'd she serve?
She was in Missouri, and at Fort Leonard Wood, I think mm-hmm. it was. I don't think she ever went overseas, mm-hmm. but he did. You want to unhook me?
Yeah, I'll unhook you again.
And I'll get her address for you.
Okay.
And I had a cousin who was an Army nurse, but she is no longer alive, so. Mm.
Knock all my stuff out of the way. No, that's okay. You all right?
Sure. I had a friend when I was in the WACs in New York City, and we were given notice that there was to be an inspection by some high-ranking officers, which happened occasionally. Everyone was to get out of their rooms, and everything was to be an absolutely apple pie GI order. Well, a friend of mine, somehow the officers, you could hear them getting off at the elevator, this hotel where we lived. She thought, I'm not supposed to be here. So she ran into the bathroom, hopped into the bathtub, closed the shower curtains around her, and stood there very quietly. When they came in, she could hear them out in the bedroom, and then they walked into the bathroom, and one of the officers went up, pulled the shower curtain apart, and there she stood, standing at attention. And she laughed until he was weak.
She didn't get in trouble at all, huh?
Oh, no. It was very funny. But she was scared.
Yeah, I bet.
She'd probably be glad to talk to somebody.
Okay,
she
that's
lives
great.
Alone. I know she's lonely sometimes. I probably better tell her I give her name.
Yeah, if you just let her know, and then I'll write her a letter and...
Her name is Helen Park, also spelled P-A-R-K-E.
Okay.
Her husband was my husband's brother. He died a short time ago, a year or two ago. Got to find it here. Oh, it's 2619 Kalamazoo Southeast, S-E. Apartment 156.
156. Okay.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mm-hmm. 49507.
Okay, great. I will. I'll write her a letter and try to get up to Grand Rapids.
You want to go to Chicago? I have a friend there.
When I do get to go to Chicago, I'll call and get her name.
Okay.
Next time I go on a trip.
She's one that I keep in touch with.
Uh-huh.
And she's the one that has the nice condominium on Lakeshore Drive, too. Her name is Sylvia Rub, R-U-B.
Okay.
Which is a bit of an unusual name.
Yeah.
When I knew her name was Eckert.
Now, have you heard at all about the Women in Military Service Memorial that's out in Washington?
I've read about it in the paper, of course,
mm-hmm.
and I've received things in the mail, too.
Have you?
In fact, I think I filled out something in the mail.
I was just going to say, because they're doing the same kind of thing where they're starting keeping a registry of all the women who have served.
It was a long time ago, but it seems to me there was some kind of a form that I filled out.
Well, I'll try to get you that contact information, because maybe you could do it for your cousin also, and, you know, just so there's a record that she did serve, and get some recognition for it, and your sister-in-law as well.
I'm looking at Sylvia again. I already gave you hers.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop the tape, and then...
Interesting the attitude the civilian people had toward women in the service.
Oh, yes.
Back when I was there. I have had people I had never seen before, absolutely knew nothing about them, walk up to me and say, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." And what have I done? Going into the service and sending some boy overseas so he could get killed. And I'm just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And then somebody else treats me as though I'm a hero.
Right.
Which I wasn't either. When I'd come home on furlough, I'd go down to the dining car at the train. We always traveled by train then. I don't think I ever paid for my own dinner. Somebody always wanted to pay for my dinner. So I would say I've seen a wide range of attitude from people. And then there were also the people that thought because we were in uniform that we were immoral.
Right.
Just maybe a grade above prostitute. And that, of course, was a big lie, too.
Right. Huh. I've heard that before, though. People would actually come up to people on the street and say, you know, what are you doing?
You're taking some young man's job so he can go overseas and get killed.
Did you ever actually meet any of the men that you replaced, I guess. Did you? What did he think about that?
Well, he was nice. I never really talked to him very long. And I said, "What are you doing now?" And he said, "Well, I'm just back hanging around the company waiting for my orders to come in." So I don't know what happened to him after. But I think mostly we did not meet the one we replaced.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple who have, but most, you know, didn't know. Didn't see anybody.
When we went to Boston, the WECs who were staying where we were to move in had not moved out yet. So they put us all in one huge room. I think it was a ballroom for the city club. And we had, I don't know, it must have been over 100 of us with bunks in one room. We had to stay there, sleep there, until the other group could move out and we could have rooms.
You were just hoping they'd get out faster, huh?
We were there several weeks.
Really?
It didn't bother me too much because I didn't hang around there much anyway.
Right. Maybe that was more of the real Army experience where you all have to live in a big room. That's funny. Well, it is very interesting what you said about civilians just coming up and either yelling at you or praising you.
Every attitude imaginable.
Right.
I think my mother and even my dad were very proud of me that they had a daughter in the service.
Did they have the gold stars in the window?
Oh, yes.
And did they have three of them on there? Or
yes.
Just the two?
And then my sister, who had married by then, moved back in with her parents, and then they got one with another star in because her husband was in the service. So there was one house with four stars. You got blue stars for living servicemen. If a gold star meant that you had lost a son or daughter.
Oh, okay. So it's blue. Okay, I couldn't remember. And then there's different ones for, like, missing in action or wounded, aren't there?
I think it was. I can't remember that.
So they were blue if they were just in the service. Okay. Well, that's nice that they had one for you, too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Was there anything else that you remembered you want to talk about?
I'll probably think of all kinds of great things that people left. I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Well, if you do think of anything, you can also just write it down and we'll attach it as
an
addendum or something.
And your name is Kavanaugh, Katie Kavanaugh.
Yep.
So
and
I can mail it to the...
Yeah, and I'll leave you my card or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
For you. Okay.